A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. As Jesus passed by, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Jesus answered, "Neither he nor his parents sinned. It is so that the works of God might be made visible through him. We have to do the works of the one who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world." When he had said this, he spat on the ground and made clay with the saliva and smeared the clay on his eyes and said to him, "Go wash in the pool of Siloam," which means sent. So he went and washed and came back able to see. His neighbors and those who had seen him earlier as a beggar said, "Isn't this the one who used to sit and beg?" Some said, "It is," but others said, "No, he just looks like him." He said, "I am." So they said to him, "How are your eyes opened?" He replied, "The man called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes and told me, 'Go to Siloam and wash.' So I went there and washed and was able to see." And they said to him, "Where is he?" He said, "I don't know." They brought the one who was once blind to the Pharisees. Now Jesus had made clay and opened his eyes on a Sabbath. So then the Pharisees also asked him how he was able to see. He said to them, "He put clay on my eyes, and I washed, and now I can see." So some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God, because he does not keep the Sabbath." But others said, "How can a sinful man do such signs?" And there was a division among them. So they said to the blind man again, "What do you have to say about him, since he opened your eyes?" He said, "He is a prophet." Now the Jews did not believe that he had been blind and gained his sight until they summoned the parents of the one who had gained his sight. They asked them, "Is this your son who you say was born blind? How does he now see?" His parents answered and said, "We know that this is our son and that he was born blind. We do not know how he sees now, nor do we know who opened his eyes. Ask him. He is of age. He can speak for himself." His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jews, for the Jews had already agreed that if anyone acknowledged him as the Christ, he would be expelled from the synagogue. For this reason, his parents said, "He is of age. Question him." So a second time, they called the man who had been blind and said to him, "Give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner." He replied, "If he is a sinner, I do not know. One thing I do know is that I was blind, and now I see." So they said to him, "What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?" He answered them, "I told you already, and you did not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you want to become his disciples too?" They ridiculed him and said, "You are that man's disciples. We are disciples of Moses. We know that God spoke to Moses, but we do not know where this one is from." The man answered and said to them, "This is what is so amazing, that you do not know where he is from, yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners, but if one is devout and does his will, he listens to him. It is unheard of that anyone ever opened the eyes of a person born blind. If this man were not from God, he would not be able to do anything." They answered and said to him, "You were born totally in sin, and are you trying to teach us?" Then they threw him out. When Jesus heard that they had thrown him out, he found him and said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" He answered and said, "Who is he, sir, that I may believe in him?" Jesus said to him, "You have seen him. The one speaking with you is he." He said, "I do believe, Lord," and he worshipped him. Then Jesus said, "I came into this world for judgment, so that those who do not see might see, and those who do see might become blind. Some of the Pharisees who were with him heard this and said to him, "Surely we are not also blind, are we?" Jesus said to them, "If you were blind, you would have no sin. But now you are saying, 'We see,' so your sin remains." The Gospel of the Lord. One of the themes that is common in the Gospel of St. John is the contrast between the world and the Spirit. St. John often recounts teachings and stories from Jesus' life and ministry which emphasize the importance of learning to understand the spiritual significance of events and words. A great example of this is how oftentimes in the Gospel of John, Jesus will be having a conversation with someone and they will be using the same words, but meaning them in completely different ways. Jesus is speaking about spiritual realities, while the person that he is speaking with is referring to worldly realities. It happened last week with the account of Jesus' meeting the woman of Samaria at the well. They were both speaking about water, but she was speaking about physical water, H2O, and Jesus was speaking about water as a symbol for a spiritual reality of the soul's refreshment that comes from accepting Jesus as Lord in one's life. It's going to happen again next week, too, in the gospel, surrounding the idea of physical or natural life versus supernatural or eternal life. And it happens this week in today's gospel, because it revolves around Jesus' having healed a man who was born blind and giving to him the gift of sight. After Jesus heals this blind man, the rest of the gospel is the account of the Pharisees trying to decide whether the physical healing that Jesus did on the Sabbath makes him a holy man or a sinner. They ask the blind man several times, and they even ask his parents, about how it is that he can now physically see. So all the focus is around this miracle and its physical result, this newfound physical sight that the blind man has. But for St. John, that miracle is actually of secondary importance because it's just a sign of something which is actually a much greater reality. Because the sight that the blind man gains at the end of the gospel is infinitely more important than the sight that he gains at the beginning of the gospel. At the beginning of the gospel, he gains physical sight. But at the end of the gospel, he gains spiritual sight. Listen again to the account of the second meeting of Jesus and the blind man at the end of the gospel. Jesus says, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" The blind man answers and says, "Well, who is he, sir, so that I may believe in him?" Jesus said to him, "You have seen him. The one speaking with you is he." And he says, "I do believe, Lord." And he worships him. Jesus has just opened the spiritual eyes of the blind man. He tells the blind man who he is. And so the blind man comes to see Jesus' identity, that he is the Lord, the Son of Man, the Savior of the world, something which the Pharisees either cannot see or refuse to see. The Pharisees are so convinced that they know everything when it comes to religion, that they know God and his ways, that they're not willing to let Jesus reveal new spiritual realities to them. They're so convinced that they know how the Messiah, the Savior, should act and what he should do. And so since Jesus does not conform with their vision, they are blinded to seeing who Jesus really is. Seeing reality according to how God sees it requires that one first admits that he or she is blind without God, and that we need God to open our eyes and show us the way to himself. My friends, this time in our nation presents us with many significant challenges. One of the challenges that I have found myself encountering is wondering how and when this struggle against this virus will come to an end. There's so much that seems uncertain, so much that makes us uneasy, anxious, nervous about the future. And I believe that what we need, especially right now, is to ask Jesus to open our eyes, not our physical eyes, but the eyes of our hearts, our spiritual eyes, in order to see things through his lens as he sees them. Now, we might wonder, well, how do I do that, right? Well, let me suggest two things. First, we need to remember that spiritual realities are much more important than physical or material realities. That's St. John's point in the Gospel. Spiritual vision and seeing things clearly about God and eternal life is infinitely more important than physical sight. So, during this time of crisis in our world with the coronavirus, we could ask ourselves, what is the spiritual reality that God wishes for us to grab onto and to see? Well, perhaps this uncertainty and the unknown presents us with a choice of whether or not we will trust in God and place our lives in his loving hands. God is with us, my friends, and we can trust him even with our health. It is quite understandable for people to be on edge and anxious due to this virus's rapid spread, but it is not a reason for us to lose hope. We worship a God for whom nothing is impossible, and who promises that our names are written in the palms of his hands. God is with us. God will provide for us. God will take care of us. The second way that we can begin to see things as Jesus sees them is simply to ask him. To ask him to open our spiritual eyes, our hearts, and help us to see with the eyes of faith. That's what the blind man does. Jesus asks him if he believes in the Son of Man, and the blind man asks a humble but important question. Well, who is he, so that I might believe in him? And Jesus opens his eyes of faith. Well, we too should ask Jesus to help us to see world events, to see the circumstances of our own daily lives from his perspective. As we heard in the first reading, not as man sees does God see, for man looks at the appearance, but the Lord looks into the heart. And one of the principal ways that we can ask Jesus to help us to see as he does is to spend time in personal prayer with the Lord. And my friends, here's an opportunity to see things from the spiritual perspective. This spread of the coronavirus has left many of us with more time on our hands than we had before. Perhaps we are working from home now, so there is no commute to work. Or perhaps we are at home more because we are trying to be cautious about how often we are going out due to our age or our health. Maybe we are a student who doesn't have school, or a worker who temporarily has less hours to work. As frustrating as these situations can be, they do also present us with an opportunity. With more time available to us comes the question of how will we use that time? And what if we used at least a little of the extra time at home that most of us are experiencing to pray a little bit more often, to ask God to teach us to see as he sees? One day our world will return to some sense of normalcy. As this virus peaks and then fades, people will return to work, kids will return to school, our busy lives will resume. But perhaps one of the lessons that we will take with us from this time is a greater appreciation for the daily time that we spend in prayer with God and its amazing impact on our spiritual lives. If we want to see as God sees, we need to ask him. And we do that in prayer. My friends, this time in our nation's history presents us with many difficult challenges, but it also provides spiritual opportunities to trust in God, to see life through his eyes, and to join ourselves even closer to him in prayer. If we truly believe that the spiritual is more important than the physical, as St. John is at pains to tell us, then let's trust that God will see us through, that God will bring good even out of this hardship, and that now is the time for us to ask Jesus to help us to see as he sees, and to know that with God, we already have all that we need.